Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final hour of the show. Two in the books, one to go. 60 minutes on the clock as we roll into the 4 o'clock hour, which will then roll into the Blitz as Aaron and Fred and AJ will take you from 4 to 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
That was exhausting.
Wear a helmet this hour because you're going to be banging your head to the heavy metal favorites of Barry Laminack.
I don't know what kind of dancing that was on the Twitch line, but I could feel my breast jiggle. So I definitely need to get and do some cardio.
Not sure you can dance to Iced Earth, Dante's Inferno. Anyway,
that was a
right?
Jam, wasn't it?
16 minutes and 26 seconds long.
You didn't know it was Iced Earth? You thought it was Iced Latte?
What do you want from me? I mean, it wasn't any black on black. But it was Iced. What was it? Iced what?
Earth.
Iced Earth.
Why does Nick, and
really
Nick
good.
Should know because he's putting it in the computer.
Really
Why
good.
Do I know what it was more than you, and you put it on your
you
list?
You didn't know till he said it. Stop it.
Once he said it, once I got it, you just went again. What did I say again? Iced what? Iced windshield?
I don't pay it. Iced baby.
Okay. He was on my list.
Yeah. Should have been Miami.
All right. So I did a little research in the break on the non-XFL cities.
Okay.
That did the best with the ratings
Chicago.
On the national broadcast.
Was it
no,
Chicago?
It was not.
Was it Nashville?
It was not.
Miami.
This is going to surprise
Phoenix.
You a little bit because we consider Texas to be a football state.
Yeah.
It's always said that way. Do you know the first two, because the top three cities in the nation were St. Louis, Seattle, and Houston, all XFL cities.
Correct.
4 and 5.
Well, and Houston
both
was third,
out of the same state.
But
I don't think you're guessing it.
Houston was third because all our fans were at the game, baby. Number one in attendance. Suck it. I just chopped myself in the fat, and that kind of hurt a little bit. Ouch.
Roughnecks Nation, Nick.
Yeah,
not kingdom.
Showing up.
Nation.
Roughnecks Nation.
4 and 5. Same state.
Hold on. No. Don't tell me. California.
Nope.
Ooh.
Nick, any guesses?
Florida.
I would probably guess
New York.
Oh, man, from the way you're talking, some random ass
yes.
state probably. New Mexico.
No, know. But if you would look on the Twitch, I could tell you.
What the hell was
Colorado?
That? Colorado. Were you just describing your head size?
No, we already know that. That's established.
OU?
No.
Oklahoma.
You know how
That's
they do?
That's the OU symbol. Oh,
Barry, if you watch any college football, it's
yeah.
Ohio.
No, that's OU.
Lenny's going to tell you
do.
In a minute. Cleveland, number 4.
Wow.
Columbus, number
what?
5.
They're desperate.
Columbus, Ohio. They love some football in Buckeyes country. Literally, Columbus, Ohio, home of the Buckeyes. And they're watching XFL. Number 6, Kansas City.
Oh, that's a good one.
There's your team.
Yeah. My
There's
city.
Your city. They're football people year
down,
round.
I put down for the whole state of Kansas.
Then Dallas and Washington, obviously XFL cities. And then Atlanta and Norfolk, Virginia.
Nice. You know, the good people in Norfolk love them some extreme football.
Well,
I'm surprised about Columbus, but I don't think.
Cleveland.
That, yeah, that's interesting.
4.6.
Maybe they're just ready to see some good football.
To watch Seattle and D.C. 4.0 rating to watch Tampa Bay and New York the next day.
Which was better than the cities that played.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Cleveland is jonesing for good football. They don't have it right now.
Obviously, all things football are big in Cleveland. And we know that Baker Mayfield is top of the list in terms of people keeping an eye on Cleveland Browns material. And Baker had a knack, shall we say, all season long for probably putting his foot in his mouth and saying more than he should have. But he also, it seems, has a side piece that's decided to have a lot coming out of her mouth and maybe something that she's put in. I don't know. In terms of things that happened around the time that he got married.
Line. Yeah, a month after.
Yeah, so it started yesterday. After. Okay. It started out yesterday where there was this random chick on social media that decided to start putting it out there that Baker Mayfield and hers truly had a little thing going on in Baker's car. Okay. And basically she was tweeting and making some allegations as to the fact that Baker had her in the back seat.
They hooked up.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're trying to find a...
I was trying to do it politically correct, and you just summed it up quickly. Yeah, so there you go.
They hooked up.
So they hooked up.
If he was an air mattress, she was trying to inflate him. Right? She's trying to blow him up.
And she was also trying to get in the way, obviously, because the first...
What? That's a weird move.
The first tweet said, did me giving you... I don't know if we can say that or not.
No.
Did me giving you in your back seat, I don't know, maybe cause some problems.
But that's because she was blocked. That's why she said that.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to catch up on this gossip. This is henpecking stuff.
Because there's audio that followed today.
Yeah, here's what happened in a nutshell, and then we're going to get her full story. But essentially, in a nutshell, what happened, no pun intended, is that they hooked up. She DM'd him. He responded back. Right. They hooked up. He blocked her. Then that's when she was like, oh, hell no. I'm going public with it. And so she went on a morning radio show in Cleveland and spilled the beans like this.
Well, I'm from like a really small town. So everyone in my town like already knew about it. And so whenever I tweeted it, it was really for them just to see. And I didn't think that it would blow up as like fast and as big as it did. Most of my close friends knew because I was texting them the whole time, like I was on my way there and whenever I got back. And then I was like, they were there whenever I was getting Snapchats from him and everything else. So they all knew.
So they all knew. So this was no secret to your friends.
Yeah. And this like happened a few months ago too. So whenever I saw that I got blocked, I was like, okay, well, I mean, I might as well tweet it now. Yeah. On Sunday, I woke up to my notifications on Twitter saying he followed me. And so, like, I thought that was weird because usually what he says to me and does is over Snapchat. So I looked, and then it turns out that I was blocked.
All right. And that angered you? That upset you?
It didn't make me mad. I wasn't upset over it. I was just kind of like, that's weird. I haven't talked to him in a few weeks now, and I'm randomly getting blocked.
Mm. Mm. You were mad. You were big mad, girl. Don't lie. You don't take this public and be like, oh, okay, you're going to block me. Let's see what the whole world will think. You're big mad.
Because that was her second tweet, essentially, right?
Mad. Yeah.
Like,
let's see how you like it when I tell everybody that, you know, I tried to blow up your mattress. Whatever.
Yeah. Her second tweet was before she did the radio interview. Y'all, I ain't playing. We snapped for months, TF out of here, basically backing up.
But and she showed problem. A deal because somebody said, she had a picture of her in a bikini or something. By the way, if I'm going to wreck my marriage after 1 month star, I'm going nines and dimes. I mean, she's a nickel, maybe a nickel and a penny.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'm going nines and dimes. I'm not wrecking my marriage and everything, which... You're still going to play football if you're, you know, you cheat on your wife, but it can mess things up for you.
For sure.
But
she does a good job on Twitter, though.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of hiding it?
Yeah.
Yeah. She does a good job.
I haven't looked at her Instagram.
But the video of her on the radio show, you can tell that since Baker, she has not kept up with it. This is if I'm being nice. I'm being very judgy right now.
You're being nice.
I'm being very judgy right now, and that's okay, because people judge me every day, so I don't care.
And weren't you tweeting about that the other day?
What, being judgy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, you're very mad, or you wouldn't have brought this to light. And she basically was thirsty enough to tweet him pictures of her in his jersey, and then he responded, and then they met at the Cheesecake Factory in the parking lot, and apparently she got in the car And he was, she was in the front seat. He was in the back seat. And he was like, hey, are we going to do this or what? So she climbed in the back seat and did it. Yeah. And that was it. That was the whole hookup.
But the guys were even saying, we were getting ready to shoot a video today, that when they were looking for content for the web too, and they were saying that, I think it was part of the radio interview where they were talking about the fact that the red flag should have been that before she left her car to get into his car, basically someone said, leave your phone in the car, don't bring anything, you know, any kind of social media device, anything like that, don't do it. And
because he didn't want pictures of his junk.
Obviously, I'm saying that. But then the radio host was basically like, so what'd you do? She's like, well, I left my phone in the car and I got in the car. It's like, well, what are you doing?
She sounds young, too.
But the other thing that's a huge red flag is...
She was 20 at the time. Well, how long ago was this?
20 now.
Oh, man. How long ago was this? It wasn't that long ago, right?
The interview or what?
No, the when they hooked up.
February 9, 2020 is when she was DMing him. So I'm imagining some day before that.
So this was this, like a week ago?
Yeah. That February 9, 2020 is when she was DMing him about whether or not this relationship, what she did in the backseat could have caused some problems. So I'm assuming it happened before that.
Right.
Okay.
But so here's the other thing. At least this isn't like a hookup when you're out at a club or anything either. If you're actually interacting with this person, obviously with whatever intentions you have, you get a pretty clear indication of like how savvy or how sharp they might be or not be. But you might get you might get an indication or two that this chick is obviously a massive fan and is just, you know. But the fact that she basically, I don't care how big her town was, the fact that the whole town knew.
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, but.
I don't care how big her towns were.
Let me just say this.
Listen, when you got a girl with big towns,
there's only one person that is being the town crier in this case. If the whole town knew it was only from one person, why are you not more careful in terms of the fact that she's just going to spray it out there?
Here's I told Nick this pre-show. And beyond just being honest and faithful in my marriage, this is also why, especially if I was a star athlete or somebody famous, why I wouldn't be out there cheating. Because, let's be real, these hoes ain't loyal.
No.
You are basically at their mercy once you hook up. And he was at her mercy. They all have a trail. This doesn't just happen with no digital footprint whatsoever. If that were the case, maybe so. But even then, you go and meet some chick in another city, you know, if it's the Browns and they're playing in Tampa, and then you hook up with a chick and she gets on the internet, y'all, I just banged it out with Baker Mayfield. Now your business is out there.
Like, he should have never DM'd her on Twitter. He should have stuck to Snapchat. And him being in the era that he's grown up in, he should have known better.
Should have known better.
And here's the thing. I told you guys still about this, the fact that there's but training he'll know. Now.
But at that point, it's too late. She got the screenshot.
But you would have to, once you got that one screenshot, at least you've gotten the red flag to know not to keep messing with this girl.
Yeah, but if it's a D-pick, it's...
No, that's your fault. But you're right, because remember, LeBron got caught DMing a chick one time, but it was just that one time, that one screenshot, and then that was it. It went away. But these guys all get this training now. I told you, the leagues now make it mandatory. And I'll say this, they might not be very sharp in terms of policing themselves and being careful what they put out on social media, but I can assure you that whether it's the security people that work for the teams that are closely following the players or the players that have their own security detail, part of the way that they handle their personal business is these women are giving up their cell phones while they're interacting. They're signing agreements that are basically signing away that if they do anything, if they put one tweet out there, if they do anything disparaging, they could face serious consequences.
But that's not all the time, obviously.
But that's what I'm trying to get to, is the fact that these players, for as much as no matter how much you train them or how much you talk to them,
they do dumb stuff. Yeah. Remember the Harden morning after tweets?
Was she
the difference pictures? Though, James Harden is not married. Baker Mayfield probably did not want to go through the team to cover up because it would be a bad look for him if the team knew. The less people the better.
Excellent point. Somebody said, what player are you talking about? Baker Mayfield. They said they missed it. And then JJ said, if you're going to cheat, in my opinion, you cheat with 5s and 6s. That's what I would do. So you could tell your wife she doesn't look better than you. Bro, that's not going to help you once you cheat, JJ. You can cheat with a 1. It doesn't matter. You cheated. Women aren't going to care. Oh, well, she was ugly. No harm.
Yeah, I don't
That's not how
that
women
one.
Work, bro.
No, and no matter how you think it works, they aren't going to work with you on that for the most part. All right, so we're going through hour number three of the show. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us up on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show rolls on. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday. Barry, hour number three, songs from artists from the cities that have a XFL team. With
whether they were born or started there or whatever, doesn't matter.
Right.
Or just played there, happened to pass through.
Let me know when you're done.
Well, you know,
yeah,
got a bumper sticker from that city.
Speaking of Ohio, as we were talking about the XFL ratings.
Yes.
We were talking about Baker Mayfield. Now, I think a lot of people are going to be talking about Ohio State football, and not for the right reasons. If you missed it, two Ohio State football players are now facing rape and kidnapping charges. Stemming from an alleged incident last week. They were roommates, seniors on the team, each with at least 35 games under their belt, having played for the Buckeyes. But it's a disturbing story. I'm not going to give you all the details now. You can look it up. It's on ESPN. But Ohio State's got a big problem on their hands to deal with this. And the fact that, look, I mean, this is not a good look for the Buckeyes at all.
Mm-mm.
Especially with, you know, Day taking over as recently with that program and everything like that. But this is never a good look. But this story right here, it's disturbing.
Well, it's disturbing because of the details. And you don't want to give them, but any rape allegation is disturbing. But when... I mean, it basically starts off where they were and she admits that they were having consensual sex, and then she decided that she didn't want to have sex with him anymore. So she said she didn't want to continue. And then that was with Reap, and then Wendt came in the room, forced himself on her, and it details kind of, you know, Reap held her down with his body.
Well, I should clarify that the two players' names, Amir Reap and Jason Wendt.
And he said it basically went forced himself on her. I'm trying to come up with there's no good way to put it. But then they said, so then they said, you can't leave until you say on video that all of this was consensual.
Right.
And then they say, you can't leave until you go shower. So they want to try to get rid of as much DNA evidence as possible, perhaps. By making her shower, getting something on video, which, by the way, if there was ever more of a forced confession or forced agreement than making someone go on video, it would be then. Like, who goes on video right before they have consensual sex? Nobody does.
And Reeps,
suspicious.
He was laughing at her.
Yeah.
While telling her to do all this, to shower and the video and all the other
terrible
stuff.
I mean, you know, innocent until proven guilty, but you never not want to believe a woman when they come forward. That's a dangerous precedent to set. So
not a good look for the Buckeyes, period.
No, not at all.
And as I'm just interested to see how Ohio State handles all this based on everything that they've been through. And the fact that you need to be swift on this, you need to get these guys out of your program, obviously.
That would be the best way to handle it quickly. These two guys would not be around anymore.
Yep, and no matter what ability they have on the football field, it doesn't matter. This needs to be swift and needs to be taken care of quickly.
But the question becomes, do you let this play out in court first?
I get what you're saying.
Or do you suspend them at least? Hey, look, while this is pending, your status is pending, so you can't play.
Absolutely. That at a minimum, that's what you do. Because I do understand innocent until proven guilty, and you do have to respect that. But from a program's perspective, I think the first thing you do is, like you just said, pending the outcome of the legal investigation and whatever else is going into it, you have been suspended indefinitely by the program.
But do you still lose your eligibility because of that? Or do you, I mean...
Eligibility has nothing to do with it at this point, I don't think. I think the NCAA gets involved if indeed they are found guilty. Then you just...
No, I'm saying, what if you suspend them for the year? Let's say it drags through the courts for a year. And it's this time next year now, they've gone their senior year. This is their senior year. This is their last year, let's say. I don't know if they're redshirt seniors or what. But let's just assume that neither of them, they're out of eligible years to play football for Ohio State. And this last year, they have sat out and been suspended because of the court case. But then they're found not guilty. Is the NCAA going to make an exception to allow them to come back and play their senior year?
There's precedent because of the fact that if you suspend them indefinitely, then your eligibility is suspended as well.
Is it?
Yeah, because you're not playing.
Okay, I didn't know.
I believe his last name is Cephas. There was a receiver for Wisconsin this last year. And there was rape allegations and sexual assault allegations against him. And the Badgers immediately suspended him.
Yeah.
And basically did more than that. They said he's no longer with the program. But once the court played out and he was found not guilty, he not only came back, but he was a big part of their team at the end of the year. And now he had a year left of eligibility. He's going to the NFL draft instead of he's foregoing his senior year. But yes, you can still come back and you can still play.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so that's something that you can factor in.
And that's how it should be. If you're going to be suspended pending the outcome of the case or the allegations or whatever, and you're found to have not been at fault or guilty, you should be allowed to play your senior season.
Yeah, and basically, once you're suspended, that means no team activities. So you're not using up any eligibility in the process because of the fact that they've basically said you need to go away until all of this plays out. Yeah. So there you have that. But disturbing news out of Columbus involving the Buckeyes.
And Mandy we'll checking in. Shout out to Mandy. She says, stay the F out of Ohio.
Yeah. Really?
Well, yeah. Ohio State, you got Baker and the Cheesecake Factory. No. Don't go to Ohio. That's the takeaway here.
There we go. We tried to get them an XFL theme because of the TV ratings. And then in the next two segments, we basically said the reason why you don't go there for an XFL.
That's right.
All right. So there you go. We're going to have a half hour to go on the show when we come back. 30 minutes on the clock. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show on a way back Wednesday, Usual Suspects. This one you got right.
It's a good song.
Good song is right.
See, oldie, I complimented your whole list. And how good it was.
I'm not you.
And Nick's list and how good it was, and this is how you treat me.
You really didn't do that.
Trying to turn over a new leaf and be positive on Way Back Wednesday, and you just want to be a dick about it.
I don't think that you needed to call me Richard, and I don't think that there was in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, you were very aggressive.
I'm just not you. I just pointed out one song that I liked.
You were very aggressive.
Was I?
Okay.
That's normally the case with me. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this one or not, but last night, because aside from Fred, I don't know anybody that keeps track of the NHL.
Okay.
Scary situation last night. St. Blues defenseman Jay Boumeister.
Sure. We'll go with that.
They
that
said one of the in top physical condition. Okay. And a guy that was a very popular player on the team was on the bench when he suffered a cardiac episode.
Oh, damn.
The paramedics had to come in, team doctors from both teams. He was rushed to the hospital. Thankfully, the response was quick. Trainers, team physicians all were able to stabilize him. At the time that he was being transported, he was alert. And he seemed to be, he was conscious, alert, and he seemed to be doing okay. The game was postponed at that point. The Ducks, between the Ducks and the Blues, and the Blues in Anaheim stayed overnight, and it's up in the air right now if they're going to continue with the rest of their schedule this week or when they continue with the rest of their schedule that week, because the team was so concerned they did not want to leave Anaheim. But he's obviously in the hospital for further tests, but that is not a good situation there. You worry about that.
See, you think about it, like you think athletes, oh, they're so healthy that they could never be an issue, but man.
A lot of people thought maybe it was something like a blow to the head or something concussion-based, and they said he was on the ice for a minute and 20 seconds in a shift that did not appear to have given him any big hits or contact to his head. He went to get a drink of water when he began to fall on the bench, and that's when teammates began shouting and waving for the trainers to assist. He was taken off the bench, and the game was delayed. Thankfully then, obviously, that they were able to get him conscious and make sure that everything was okay, and now they're still doing tests. But scary, scary stuff there. So we'll give you any updates later in the week, but we'll see what the Blues do because they were staying in Anaheim. So I thought I'd throw that out there to you.
For all the hockey fans?
Fred. Okay. We have a sports map video coming up, by the way, about the possibilities of Houston having an NHL team. And let's just say that we were on different sides of the equation quite passionately when
were
talking
you?
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fred was very passionate in the fact that he believes that Houston would be a great NHL city and that they could, with all the transplants, that they could handle it. I beg to differ.
G-Money texted the show and said, I need a winner, winner, chicken dinner pick today, sports guys. Wrong show. We don't do picks.
Right.
That's the 4 o'clock show. Where did you fall on hockey?
First of all, I was involved.
I'm guessing being a Wisconsin guy, you were super into it.
No, I don't think it's good. I don't think it would do well here. And I just think that Houston has shown its fair weatherisms for all their sports teams for the most part.
You watch it. We're not fair weather fans down here.
You got
here.
Your Chiefs. But at the same time.
Lifelong.
I just, you know, for me, and Fred had a good point. Look, when Les owned the Rockets and I was working there, we were all, or a lot of us, were basically forced to do a presentation and do research and get information together to make a presentation to the NHL to get a hockey team in Houston. No matter what data you put in front of them, they were going to pick it apart by saying, well, is the fan base going to support going to the games on a consistent basis with the ticket prices what they are, with the arena that you were playing in, which at the time was the Compaq Center and all these other things. And you know, the Houston, our bid didn't get accepted. Other cities did. And I just think it's a tough sell in Houston. And it's different. He brought up Vegas. Well, Vegas is successful, as you guys know. And Nick, especially you, with the amount of time you go there for boxing and other things. Basically, no one is from Vegas. That's a transplant where every weekend everybody's coming from all over the country to go there. So if you're looking for fun things to do, especially earlier in an evening, well, if there's a hockey game, we're going to go. But that Houston isn't the same kind of destination, and I don't think people will consistently pay for those tickets. And we talk about, when we're talking about XFL, hockey tickets are expensive.
Here's the thing. This isn't a hockey city. It's not a hockey state. I'm surprised that the Dallas Stars have had as much success as they have had in Dallas, to be honest with you. But at least it snows in Dallas once or twice a year. Maybe. I just don't see how it works, and they've tried over and over. I mean, you had the Arrows here for a while. It was a novelty thing, and then it just wears off.
Now, Fred said that late in the game with the Arrows, they did well. I don't remember them.
I don't remember them.
Even when they were winning.
I went to Arrows games.
The Arrows weren't NHL, though.
Oh, right. No. It's AHL or whatever it is. Yeah.
But it's hockey.
IHL.
And if this, put it this way. I just Googled real quick, NHL to Houston, right? There is a Twitter account out there dedicated to helping bring the NHL to Houston, 3,200 followers. If there were more passionate hockey fans, that would have more followers.
Tillman is very interested in it, and as he should be, because if you're controlling the building at Toyota Center and you're looking to fill dates, because filling dates means there's revenue coming in because there's an event in the building. Obviously, as an owner, you would explore opportunities to get another tenant in your building. But I think that you're right. I mean, look, I just don't see Houston being a city that would be passionate about hockey. He said, with all the transplants and more coming for hockey. And I know, before he could even bring it up, I lived in Midtown. I know the Maple Leaf is a huge hockey bar. But just because you have bars that are big hockey supporters, I just don't think they would support it, and they wouldn't support it on a consistent basis like you have to in the NHL.
I don't think transplants help with attendance. If you're a transplant city, I'm not sure that helps. I think it makes your attendance worse, if anything.
You do? I mean, look, yeah, if you're Houston and you had a bunch of transplants from the Midwest and the East.
That missed hockey?
Yeah, that loved hockey.
Adopt
I think
the
they
city,
would go.
I could see that.
Right, but the problem is you have transplants is not just from one city. It's from multiple cities. So if their team or if their reason for going to the game is not there, they won't go. So it's already divided enough as it is being transplants.
Unless it's you just love the game. You were brought up and raised on the game and you love the game of hockey and you miss it because you're not living in a city that has hockey.
Think of it like soccer fans. No, nobody here was a Dynamo fan. They had another team that they rooted for, whether it was a country or, you know, whatever. I don't know. Was it Tottenham or whoever the hell the Euro soccer teams are, right? So when you get a Houston Dynamo, it's because you love soccer. It's MLS soccer. So you start to adopt that team as a team to root for. Because I have a buddy, Connor Hogan, who roots for the Dynamo and goes to the games, but he's a Chelsea fan.
Mm-hmm.
Through and through a Chelsea fan. Loves, like, that's his team. Like, he lives and dies for Chelsea soccer. But he goes to Dynamo games and supports it because it's soccer. And I think the same would be true for hockey. That's why the Arrows would get 3,000 a night or 4,000 a night sometimes.
Right. Well, that's poor attendance, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying I think you're maxed out in Houston at that. And look, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but it's the same. It's very true. We have a very large Hispanic population here in Houston that loves soccer. And the Dynamo still struggle to fill that stadium sometimes.
That's why I just don't see it.
And it's soccer. It's professional soccer. They don't go. And that's we are a big three sports town and fair weather when it comes to those teams.
And that's the nature of Houston transplants, too. Like, if you have a bunch of transplants who are NBA fans, let's say they're Bucks fans, let's say they're Lakers fans, let's say they're Heat fans, they're going to go to the games when Rockets play that particular team.
True,
they're not going to go to the games. And that's the reason why it hurts attendance, in my opinion.
You have the passionate fan of the sport.
Sure.
Then you have the passionate fan of a team. But to Barry's point, most people, even if you're passionate about a team, if you know you're living in a city that team's never going to play in, and you have an opportunity to go watch the sport to continue to have the love of the sport, you can do that. But the interesting thing, the back and forth of the dialogue was good between Fred and myself during the video, so look for it. But I'm going to throw this out to you because this one, I'm glad Fred finished with it because I don't think I could have argued enough. He said, you watch. If Houston gets an NHL team, it will draw better than the Rockets. I don't think there's anything you could get an entire roster of Houston-based players that are all playing on this NHL team that came to Houston. There's not a scenario that I can see where an NHL hockey team would outdraw the Rockets. Not saying the Rockets' attendance is great, but that's saying even more. I don't think the NHL can survive and surpass the Rockets in attendance.
I'm with you. What is the Rockets' yearly attendance versus the middle of the road NHL attendance? I'd be curious to see what that is.
So it's tricky, right? Because the Rockets, as we all know, like to list every game as a sellout. And a lot of times it could be tickets sold versus how many butts are in the seats.
Gave it away.
But even if you guesstimate, the Rockets are drawing around 18,000 a game. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't see the NHL getting 18,000 a game out of Houston, Texas. And if they had problems getting to Rockets games because of traffic and school and all the other excuses that we get when we question, like last night, why the building looked half to empty.
Toronto, the Maple Leafs draw on average
in
the 2018-2019 season, 19,000.
That's Toronto, though.
Yeah, and that's Toronto. Detroit, 19,000. Well, Tampa Bay draws 19,000. That's weird.
How can that be when the Rays can't draw 5,000 on a week on a game night?
I don't know. And maybe that's it. Maybe it just has to be professional. Maybe the Arrows is the thing, is that everyone
knows. So there's
Fred's
argument. Tampa Bay can't draw for baseball. They get 5,000. But they're drawing 19,000 for Lightning games?
For hockey. But haven't the Lightning, didn't they win an NHL title?
I think they were close. I don't know that they won.
I think they've won a title before. So maybe that's why.
But I don't see it here. We know how fair weather the fans can be here. We know that it's all about winning in most cases. How many times are we talking about when the team's winning, everybody's on board?
Oh, well, here's the thing. If the Detroit Red Wings come down to Houston and win a title their first season, this is a hockey town. But our fans are that way. That's how we are in this city. We're front runners. We're fair weather. If a hockey team comes down here and wins an NHL Stanley Cup in year one, all of a sudden we're a hockey town.
I mean, this is how it is.
Look, it's Vegas, too. We were talking about Vegas. But the other thing that you think about, because my buddy that I was telling you about, Gene, that works for UFC now. Mm-hmm. When he left the Rockets, he went to work for the Vegas Golden Knights. It also helps your first year when you make the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's what.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying, because where I'm going is with the question, it would be then, could they maintain that if they have a huge falling off? In Vegas, I think you can't, because again, it's just a bunch of people from everywhere coming looking for something to do. But if you're in another market, I don't think, and especially in Houston, if they're not winning, I don't see it.
If they stop winning and they start, I would agree with that. The attendance is slowly.
We talked about
fall.
Week one of the Roughnecks. Everybody wanted to see what it was all about.
Dude, Tampa, their Stanley Cup win was 2004. And they're still drawing 19.
I don't understand. I don't explain that.
16 years later.
I don't get that.
For 15, because this was last year's numbers.
Because Arizona's had problems with the Coyotes.
Pretty crazy.
So, all right.
Yeah, people are saying move the Coyotes to Houston.
And Fred talked about that it wouldn't be an expansion team. It would be a team moving from another city.
That might be a little different. That might help a little bit.
He made a great point. If the Carolina Hurricane move, you don't have to change a name. Because we were talking about mascots.
That is a good point.
You could have the female mascot, like with the Cougs, with like Shasta the and
Jazz.
All that.
You need to change it, because the Jazz in Utah.
Well, but you could have Allison and Harvey be the mascots.
No. Good. No.
God, no. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. We'll put a bow on it next. Turn it over to the Blitz. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrap it up the show as the Blitz will take over at 4, take you till 7 on ESPN 97.5. I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but...
it's a good song. No idea who that was.
Thanks for caring about your list. But yet you got people voting for you on the...
of course I do.
Twitter.
Because it's a lot of time invested.
It had to
and
be why.
Listen, if you're going to vote for all three, because everyone had great lists.
Okay. Your pandering has to stop at some point, right? Tomorrow, we'll be back to normal.
Positive.
Just be back to normal tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
Couple things. This should surprise you. I thought it was a joke. It is not. Jameis Winston has undergone successful LASIK surgery.
Okay.
Sounds like a joke. It's not. He recently underwent eye surgery after throwing 30 interceptions. He had some investigative work done on his eyesight.
Stop it.
And it's a true story.
Listen, interceptions don't occur because your eyesight is bad. It's poor decision-making most of the time.
And
you're going to get LASIK on your decisioner?
Mm-hmm. Are we going back to the Mayfield story?
I mean.
Okay, and then Antonio Brown continues his regretful apologies and, I guess, I'm sorrys. Now he's targeted Ben Roethlisberger to basically say, I'm sorry. He said, mostly you, a little bit of me, yee. I never realized how good I had it. Got caught up in my emotion with everyone coming after me. I really apologize for my actions. Sincerely, man. It's never been another connection like what we done in the past decade. I appreciate you. Sincerely, AB.
Well, that was nice of him.
I agree. Now, the problem that I have is because of all of these different things where one day he's apologetic and the next day he's... basically just completely going off the rails.
Well, has he been going off the rails since he started the apology tour?
I don't know.
Maybe he got some
counseling. You know, he had to. Remember now?
Yeah.
The court ruled as part of the deal where he and his trainer beat up the delivery guy on
anger
some furniture
management.
Or whatever, that part of it was anger management.
Yeah, so he's out there throwing ice at the fence.
He's doing something.
So
but
random.
Maybe it's working, but also maybe he looked at his bank account and realized... all the money he lost in the last year, and it's going to continue, and it's still pending whether the NFL suspends you. You probably, whether you mean it or not, should start changing the overall perception.
Here's why I give him props. A lot of people would have these public tirades where they berate Ben Roethlisberger or whoever else it is. But then they want to apologize in private. So you're going to publicly call me out and try to make me look like a fool. But then when it comes time to say you're sorry, you want to send me a private message and do that. So I respect Antonio Brown for coming out and publicly apologizing. If you can publicly try to tear someone down, then you should publicly apologize to him as well. And I know some people be like, it's just a publicity stunt. He's just doing it for this or that. Well, but at the end of the day, if the message initially was sent publicly, then the apology should be as well. So good for him for doing it this way.
And good for him for getting help. Whether he had to do it or not,
of course,
we could all see from a distance that some kind of intervention had to happen. When Drew Rosenhaus, who, look, I don't care if you know the guy personally and say he's a compassionate guy. Drew Rosenhaus is never going to walk. He's stuck with T.O. You're never going to walk away unless it's really, really bad. And he basically cut ties with him and said, until he gets help, I can't do this anymore.
Good. I mean, that's good. That's sometimes, you know, you can't make a guy like, you can't help a guy like Antonio Brown. He has to help himself.
Exactly.
But the best thing you can do is say, listen, I am not going to support your destructive behavior. I'm not going to be around and watch you be destructive in your life. And in some ways play a part of that by continuing to allow you to do it. So for me, I'm going to step away. And maybe this at some point you can get some help that you need and get better. So good for him for doing that. Plus, he was probably like, this dude ain't getting no work. I ain't messing with him no more. I mean, that's probably a big part of it. Let's be real. But it was probably like, I can't get this cat to stick. This is a difficult situation. And he ain't going to get work acting like this. I'm gone. But maybe some of it was he cares about him.
Well, no, there's no doubt. I think he saw the track record of behavior in the last year or so. And
he's like, I'm wasting my time.
When you had a chance with the Patriots of all people and you couldn't like straighten yourself out long enough to realize this is where everybody goes to win championships and resurrect.
Yeah.
Only you can get your money elsewhere again. But they were also throwing money at you, too. When you screwed that up.
Stupid.
Yeah. Not a good look. No. So I think he also probably sees guys like Dez trying to make a comeback and guys that are out of the league trying to get back in and go, you know, if I keep this going for much longer, there may not be a second chance.
I'm
going to
be the next Dez or Ocho Cinco.
It may have passed me by.
And they got older, but yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But look, I think it had to be done, and I'm glad he's doing it. I'm with you. So we'll see how that goes. But that's just a little bit of the NFL news of the day I thought we could touch on before we get up out of here. Do you want to get – we were talking about Antonio Brown. Tyler wants to get in here on Antonio Brown. Tyler, what's up?
Hey, guys. So I called right after you brought it up with Antonio Brown. And I think, Barry, I think you said what I was about to say. So sorry if I'm repeating you. But, you know, if just saying I sincerely apologize like that doesn't mean it's sincere. It's on Twitter or whatever. It's more so just another look at me thing is how I view it. The guy is a real piece of work. He's pissed off everyone in the NFL. If he wants to apologize to Ben, it should be a private matter, and he should just, you know, open up and say, I'm sorry for acting like such a clown. You know, these guys get paid so much money, and I know, you know, it's like art. It's what everybody, whatever anybody will pay for it, that's what it's worth, and the market dictates what these guys get paid. But it's a privilege to get to play a sport and get paid many millions of dollars each year to do it. When you go off and on a string of horrible decisions like Antonio Brown has done, I say don't let him back in. He realizes that his future is pretty dim without the NFL, and he's doing whatever he can to get back, but it just doesn't seem legit to me. Anyway, that's...
We appreciate the call, Tyler. Look,
you know, we differed. I mean, I said it, and I gave both sides of the argument, but I commend him for doing it publicly because of like what I said just a second ago. If you're going to berate someone and talk smack to them publicly and put them down and say they were the problem and bring up old allegations and all these other things, then you should also apologize to them in the same form.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And the thing is when we talk about this is America and everybody deserves a second chance and all these other things, the key now is that if he doesn't get convicted on any of the things with his former trainer and those type things, then I would say that, you know, I would disagree with Tyler and say, look, then everyone deserves a second chance. If he gets all that behind him and the league doesn't have an issue with him, then and he got the help he can prove to the team, whoever, obviously the team's going to get extensive in terms of making sure that he is of sound mind and body before they bring him in. But if everything gets behind him and he gets it, then he should get a second chance to play again.
Isn't he? But hasn't he had a second and third and fourth chance? after the Steelers. He was at the Raiders.
It's hard to say that because it's all in a short window of time in which he might not have been right, mentally or otherwise.
Oh, so you're lumping three teams in that short span of time.
Yeah, I'm not even looking at the teams at this point. I'm looking at the actions because how many different times did he lash out on how many different issues and how many different times did he almost seem bipolar to say one day he was totally for something and the next day, he was all apologetic to the NFL one day. And then the next day, he was bashing them and calling them all kinds of names, saying, I'll never play again. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, you know what? I changed my mind.
You know what? Every dude listening right now is like, oh, so basically Antonio Brown is everyone's wife.
Yeah.
One day, they're all happy. Next day, they're all upset. Next day, they're mad. Then they're back to happy.
Next day? Yeah. How about next hour?
Yeah. That's Antonio Brown is everyone's wife.
That's just another reason, Nick. Just stay away from marriage. Stay away from all of it.
But when you put it that way, I do agree then, yeah, there would be his second chance. I looked at the Patriots as his second chance. But I'm with you. You could lump this in as a whole big issue, and then now he's out.
Chances
so
Josh
now if he
got.
Comes back, yeah, that would squandered.
Yeah. So
squandered.
But again, we don't know the demons
sure.
of all of that.
Of course not.
But just like we know what his demons were.
Yeah.
Whether Antonio Brown medically they can find has issues or not.
Or if it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
But I think that if he gets it under control, he absolutely deserves a second chance, regardless of what Tyler thought about what the NFL thought.
As long as he's not found guilty of anything.
Right.
Awful.
That's why I started with that. All right. So we appreciate you guys listening. You guys are always great, but we love our suspects. And we'll do it all again tomorrow, so hopefully you will too. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.